From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect. Your input on today's topic is important to us. Join in the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE. ABQ Connect.
Well, thanks so much for joining us on ABQ Connect. I'm Steve Ryman, and you can't tell from listening, I'll be separated from our guest today, and more importantly, Abby's out ill, so keep her in your prayers. Just not feeling good today, and she's what a trooper. Even though she's ill, she's like, well, I got stuff to do. She's going to go home and get some stuff done, so regardless, keep her in your prayers. Later in the hour, we're going to catch up with Chuck Harper at Across Nations from Window Rock, Arizona, and find out about what that ministry is doing to reach that part of the globe. And in studio with us is Paul Gessing from the Rio Grande Foundation. Paul, welcome in.
Hey, good to be back with you, Steve.
You limped into the studio.
I did. Had a little injury playing basketball, so that's one of the things our erstwhile host Jim Williams and I would talk about is hoops. And yeah, stepping on another person's foot when you're going up for a rebound does a number on your ankle, and wound up with a sprained ankle on crutches for several days, and definitely not a comfortable feeling.
Well, and again, welcome into ABQ Connect. I'm Steve Ryman. In studio with us, Paul Gessing from the Rio Grande Foundation. We've got a lot to cover today, actually, Paul, but before we do that, I do want to make sure our listeners know they can go to riograndefoundation.org, and on the website they'll find all kinds of great information, and including the mission of Rio Grande Foundation, which, according to the website, is to increase liberty and prosperity for all of New Mexico by informing citizens of the importance of individual freedom, limited government, and economic opportunity. And let me say in advance, Paul, the information you provide with us regularly, what an assistance that is as we talk amongst ourselves on issues or talk to our representatives. And where are we starting off today?
Well, first and foremost, obviously, we have an election coming up, and we're a little ways from early voting still, but it's always important to be engaged. I want people to make sure that they engage with the process as that rolls around, and listening to shows like this will make your decision when you enter the voting booth or do whatever you do, absentee voting, whatever it is, it'll make that an informed decision. And I encourage folks to go to our website as well as errorsofenchantment.com. And, you know, the first thing that is on the top of my mind, especially coming on this particular station, is the fact that a week and a half ago or so, our governor, Michelle Lujan Grisham, created an executive order that spends $10 million of our taxpayer dollars to build an abortion clinic in southern New Mexico. I find this to be incredibly troubling, and something that while Rio Grande Foundation does not directly engage on the abortion issue, we're a economic education policy-based think tank, all right-thinking citizens of New Mexico should be perturbed and concerned about this use of your tax dollars. The other things that could be done with that money, you know, rebuilding schools, constructing roads, doing whatever's needed by the citizens of New Mexico. Instead, she's taking our tax dollars, putting an abortion clinic down on the border with Texas, and presumably her goal is to attract those Texans in there looking for abortions into New Mexico and make it a tourism kind of facility. And the question I have is, if she's doing this right now, what will she do after the election? Texas, we have a long border with Texas. Arizona's also restricted abortion. Are we going to see a chain of taxpayer-financed abortion clinics on New Mexico's borders with more conservative states? It's something that I just find completely baffling and well outside the role of government that our dollars would be used for this kind of thing. But apparently that's the way it's going.
Now, these are going to be government-run abortion clinics, or are they supporting another organization?
Government-run, actually. This would be a hospital, if you will, or a clinic owned and managed by the government. And there's a lot of reasons for that, particularly, and the governor probably doesn't know this, but the Rio Grande Foundation and another organization are involved in finalizing plans to litigate against the city of Albuquerque. Folks may remember that the city of Albuquerque City Council allocated $250,000 to fund Planned Parenthood, basically in the form of a donation, no specific requirements at all. And we believe that very strongly that anti-donation clause, that's a violation of that clause, and that we think it's illegal. Now, we will find that out in court, but I think the governor just decided she's going to use capital outlay dollars put there by the taxpayers and spend it as a campaign messaging tool. And that's what she's done. So obviously this is one, but there easily could be a number of these in a second Lujan Grisham administration.
So here's a question. Aside from coming off listening to the radio show and then, you know, going back to the office or home or, you know, wherever our listeners may go today and say, did you hear what MLG's doing with $10 million, putting abortion clinic down near the border? What about action that our listeners can take, beyond, expressing their dissatisfaction?
Well, it is tough, especially given the close proximity of an election coming up. You know, that's where the focus is these days on both sides of the aisle. We have a heated election coming up in November. The governor is up for election. And, we know that she has made her pro-abortion, pro-choice position a central focus of her campaign. There was polling done in the Albuquerque Journal on that issue, and only 35% of New Mexicans support unlimited abortion, which is a lot, but it's also not 50%, and there's certainly questions whether this is a good political move. And so I think having those conversations with friends and family, explaining to them, not so much necessarily, I mean, who knows where they stand on abortion, but obviously that's a hotly contested issue, and a lot of people have already made up their minds. But even if your friends are pro-choice, talking to them and saying, you know, is this really the role of state government to get involved in this kind of use of our tax dollars? I think there are significant numbers of people who may be pro-choice who might not like this kind of policy. And I think it's a gamble by our governor, but she's doubling down. She's tripling down on that issue and trying to make it something that carries her to her campaign reelection. And that's obviously something that we'll all have to find out together in November if that's indeed the case. But it's important that people are educated on this.
Yeah. And, I was thinking about when I was looking through this yesterday. One thing I did notice, Paul, there was no state money, government money, city money given towards any fertility clinics.
No, not at all. And there's a lot of potential uses for that money. $10 million is not chump change when
right.
you bring it down to the individual or even small organizational basis. And it's definitely, aside from the moral problems and the governance problems, it's also, is this just the highest and best use of our tax dollars?
Right. Yeah. I mean, we've said so many times on this show, and I want to thank Jim Williams for spending the time he spent with you talking about those bad lists that New Mexico is on. And I'm guessing some of the money you're talking about could be used towards moving the correct direction on those lists.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to get off of those bad lists, it helps to look carefully at who you're electing to higher office, because those are the people that are managing the state. And There's absolutely no reason why New Mexico should be at the bottom of these lists. We tend to wind up there, and a lot of people accept that and think, oh, that's okay. But, you know, it's the very quality of life that we all want to improve upon, whether it's homelessness, the education situation, jobs and economic growth. All of those things are driven in part by the people we elect to office.
Yeah, you know, and I don't want to necessarily move into this, but you mentioned, you know, jobs and economic growth. I heard a report this week, and I think this was nationwide. It wasn't New Mexico. But for every one person looking for work, there's two openings.
Yep.
And there's plenty of opportunity. And we all continue to see the help wanted signs.
Yeah, and, well, I will take this into another topic because it is directly relevant to a topic that I said I wanted to talk to you about, which is New Mexico's welfare population. And there's a connection there. If you are sitting at home getting government checks and there's jobs available, you may not be incentivized as strongly to show up for those jobs and to pursue those job opportunities. In New Mexico, we have the highest unemployment rate in the nation, but that's only 4.5%. That's low by historical standards. So it's a mixed bag when you talk about jobs and economic growth. We're still 10,000 fewer people employed in New Mexico than were employed pre-COVID. So we're not recovered as a state. And you can see, go to your favorite fast food restaurant, go to other businesses. They are all shorthanded. They're all looking for people to work. We have a low workforce participation rate. That's something that we've talked about. I talked about with Jim, and you know, it's a hobby horse that we discuss on this show because we need more people in New Mexico working, not just because we need their taxes, we need them to be productive citizens, but because that's the best way to improve their quality of life, to gain self-esteem, to help the next generation, to help family stability, to do a lot of good things. And the flip side of that is sitting at home on welfare. And shockingly, sadly, a new report from World Population Review finds that New Mexico is the number one state in the nation in terms of welfare recipients as a percentage of the population. But more critically, we are light years ahead or below, depending on how you look at it, even the next state in line. So according to World Population Review, and these are people on TANF, SNAP, Supplemental Security Income, Earned Income Tax Credit, and Housing Assistance and Medicaid, those six government programs. We have 21,300 out of every 100,000 residents on those programs.
Wow.
The next highest state is 17,320. That's Louisiana. That is a 23% differential between those two states. So when you say number one with a bullet, we are number one with a bullet in terms of the amount of people on welfare, which is perhaps the singular worst statistic you can have, because it means that instead of people out in the workforce gaining self-fulfillment, creating higher standards of living for themselves and their friends and family and their society, they're sitting at home sucking in checks. They're not doing productive work, and they are probably not super happy with their lives and where things stand right now, whether that's because they don't have the education, whether that's because they're on drugs, whether that's because they're just not, they feel like they'd rather take in those checks. It's whatever it is, it's not good. And it's a difficult problem to solve in a so-called democracy, democratic republic, where we, you know, have voting and elections to determine the future of our state and our country. And New Mexico, I think a lot of people on welfare are voting to keep those welfare policies in place. And that's not good. None of it's good.
All right. Well, again, we're in studios today. I'm sitting in the engineering seat, since Abby is out. And again, if you were not tuned in earlier, she's out sick for the rest of the day. Keep her in your prayers. And, we're going to come back and talk more with Paul Gessing from the Rio Grande Foundation. And if you were listening and again, you missed the website, I want to make sure you have that. on the website. Paul has and the team there has, you know, really put some great information. RioGrandeFoundation.org. You'll find all kinds of resources there. The Freedom Index, you can go check that out. And actually, Paul, we got to plan a barbecue or something. There's no events, but we'll figure that out when it comes up.
Yeah, well, we've got events. We just haven't. We already had our events for the month of September.
So, very good. Yeah, because you're often meeting around town with people, isn't that true?
Yeah, we had Liberty on the Rocks just last night. Now maybe there's a glitch in the calendar, so we could definitely check that out. But we've had, you know, people come and go at the foundation, so we may not have kept an eye on those calendar events. But and if you're on our email list, you're getting those.
Yeah, and regardless, go to the website. There's great information there, including how to donate to the Rio Grande Foundation. If you appreciate the work Paul and the rest do at the Rio Grande Foundation, providing the information we need as we deal with the issues some of which we're talking about today, which, by the way, there we are. We talked about the list, and there we are on the welfare recipient list. You know, we're outpacing all the other states there. Paul, when we come back, can we spend some time talking about, the push for getting away from cars that drink gasoline and the threat of maybe not having electricity to charge vehicles?
You got it. Absolutely.
All right. We'll do that and more when we come back right after the break. You're listening to ABQ Connect.
As you listen to The Light on KLYT, remember it's the support given by businesses like Dom Garcia Realty that make this programming possible. We'd like to thank Dom Garcia Realty for supporting Reaching New Mexico with world-class Bible teaching. Dom Garcia Realty supports KLYT and hopes you will too. Thanks, Dom Garcia Realty, a full-service brokerage assisting buyers and sellers, commercial and residential property management. Dom Garcia Realty, 899-4644.
Hey ladies, you've heard about the upcoming Sister Sister Conference. Well, here's some great news. The sponsor, Trinity Southwest University, is able to make this a no-charge event. That's right, no cost to see Jenny Lusko, Lenya Heitzig, and Dominic Doan.
I went through a season in my life of immense doubt and deconstruction. There was a time where I almost lost my faith and almost became an atheist, actually.
Yeah.
And it was a pretty intense season for me. And after going through that season, there are just some things I learned on the journey that I wanted to just kind of help share.
That's Dominic on the challenge of staying with the faith in a crazy world.
We live in a time where so many people are struggling with their faith. Now is the time we have to have a deep rethink of our theology of doubt.
Staying sane in a crazy world is the theme of Sister Sister, now a free event. Friday and Saturday, September 23rd and 24th at the Marriott Pyramid. But you must register at sistersister.me.
The most recent U.S. Census revealed that our population is much more diverse than ever before. In fact, over the past 10 years, our multiracial population increased 276%, which presents new challenges. Here's Skip Heitzig.
To say that this nation is divided would be a gross understatement. But I am not going to take sides politically. I am going to take sides morally, spiritually, and biblically. I'm going to raise the conversation to a different level, to a higher level, to a biblical level, because the issue, as I see it, is not a skin issue as much as it's a sin issue.
We want to help you understand this divisive issue from a divine perspective. When you give $20 or more today to this Bible teaching ministry, we'll send you Pastor Skip's booklet, The Church and Racism, plus his teaching featuring a conversation with Pastor Tony Clark. Get these relevant resources today when you give online securely at connectwithskip.com/offer or call 800-922-1888.
You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect. Today's show is sponsored in part by Ben Lucero at Indigo Mortgage, 505-836-5700, or online at indigomortgage.net. Thank you, Indigo Mortgage, for your support of KLYT and ABQ Connect.
Yes, thank you, Ben Lucero. Appreciate you. And appreciate the listener tuning in to hear from Paul Gessing today. He's in studio with us from the Rio Grande Foundation. And before we get back to Paul, I want to remind the listener, coming up at the bottom of the hour, we're going to catch up with Chuck Harper and I think Jenna Martinez, both from Across Nations Ministry in Arizona from Window Rock. They're going to be joining us to give us an update on what they're doing to reach the Navajo Nation for Jesus. And we'll get to that again in about 10 minutes or so. With that being said, Paul, again, thank you for being here. We did want to touch on the recent decision in California for its, you know, its leaders. What, 1 week said by a certain date, what, there no more gasoline vehicles. And then the next week, they were asking people not to charge their Tesla.
Yeah, it's been an interesting time in California recently. We had a heat wave that we partially shared with California, and California was dealing with some electricity shortage issues. They were saying that not only could you not charge your electric vehicle, but you had to increase your thermostat to 78 degrees. I don't know about you at your house, yeah, but that's a little hot for my taste.
Now, was that only for the people who opted for that one? There was like a program they had where if you opt for it when you sign up with them or something, you get a bonus.
No, that was in Colorado. Okay, that was something. Okay. And they do that here at PNM. If you want to have that installed, you can essentially give PNM some level of control over your thermostat on hot days, and they will shut it down or limit the amount of electricity you use.
I have to imagine most of the people who signed up for that, that's never going to happen. They're not, you know, come on.
Yeah, well, so in California, and this is the state we are really emulating on our energy policy. That's what why I want to talk about it. Yeah, on August 24th, California bans the sale of new gas-powered vehicles. So that means in 2035, you know, a little over a decade from now, theoretically, California is going to stop having gas-powered vehicles sold within the state. Now, New Mexico has embraced a similar policy. In fact, we've tied ourselves to California, and there is a chance that we may be following along those lines here in New Mexico, because the governor of our state has, not through the legislature but through an unelected body, put New Mexico into the same system under California's aegis. But the kicker is that 6 days later, on August 30th, California was asking people in the state to stop charging their electric vehicles due to electricity shortages. Now, you would be surprised, because of the level of publicity that electric vehicles get. But we did a recent conversation about this, and Axios had studied it and found that only about 2% of the vehicles on the road currently in California are electric vehicles. Can you imagine, not just, you know, 100% electric vehicles, how bad that is going to tax the grid out there or here, but what that is going to mean when California gets 20, 30, 40, or 100% electric vehicles. They are going to have to build power plants at a unprecedented rate. And, you know, the fact is, we're talking 2035, realistically speaking, for a lot of power plants, if they want to build them, they're going to have to start building them in a few years, because it takes a long time to get a big power plant built in any state, let alone California. So, again, New Mexico has followed California based on its limits on electricity generation. In fact, in 17 short days, the San Juan Generating Station coal-fired power plant up in Farmington shuts down, potentially never to be reopened. And we've also followed California on towards the gas-powered car ban and electric vehicles being required in the state of New Mexico. So do we want blackouts and brownouts in this state? I think it's an open question. But with the policies we're implementing, certainly are going to result in them.
Well, the other thing I was thinking here is, well, you know, maybe they're trying to do what they say they're trying to do, you know, in reducing emissions and getting everyone more healthy, because they can't charge their car or buy a gasoline vehicle. You got to go get a bicycle to get where you're going.
Yeah. and if there's a heat wave and it's 100 degrees out, I mean, that could be what they're doing. Of course, you got a lot of elderly people. You got a lot of people who may not quite be ready to go. You have all kinds of issues that could result from limited or eliminated gas-powered vehicles, not the least of which is the stability of the power grid. But again, New Mexico has been following, especially under the current administration, California to a T. And I just want people to know what is happening in California is coming to New Mexico if we continue down that path.
Well, it sounds like you mentioned the power plants they need to start building. They probably need to boost up their public transportation as well, you know, if this is something they're really gonna stick with.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess LA's come a long way on having a subway and whatnot, but again, you run into the same issues. I mean,
and that's LA. I mean, you know,
yeah.
Remember, there's, you know,
true.
San Francisco, Sacramento, Stockton, Lodi, you know, I mean,
yeah.
You know,
but that's a lot of money. And yeah. They're already, that's going to be a problem if they continue to, go down this path. So yeah, that could be another way to deal with it, but you know, they're still building that high speed rail system, that they spent billions of dollars, mostly of our federal tax dollars, to construct, there in California. So they got a lot on their plates.
Yeah. Okay. So, with the time we have left, I want to spend a little bit of time, we mentioned, the election coming up, and my encouragement to the listener is if you're not registered to vote, well, get out and register to vote. I'm not saying whether you're registering this way or that. I'm saying get out, register to vote. And then, Paul, imagine this. After you're registered to vote on election day or in early voting, vote.
Exactly. Yes. Make sure you get out there and vote. We, of course, have early voting. It's extremely accessible here in New Mexico. So there's no excuse for not voting.
And the big election, of course, everyone's going to be talking about as we head in New Mexico towards the election is our current governor and the comparisons, her policies to Mark Ronchetti, who's going to be on the ballot. And the two areas we wanted to kind of take a quick look at, maybe comparing them, Paul, was education and economics.
Yeah. First and foremost, education real quickly. And this is the most newsworthy one because it's pretty recent. Ronchetti put together an education plan that he released last week. And it's 6 pages of pretty detailed policy prescriptions talking about the value of education first and foremost, but really going into some detail about making up for lost time, including money available for low-income families to purchase tutoring services or other educational services for their children to the tune of $1,500 in a stipend, requiring districts to use COVID dollars in the classroom to provide improved educational services to children, putting more dollars in the classroom, stopping the spread of bureaucracy and too many pencil pushers or paper pushers, and getting that money spent on the classroom and teaching your kids, protecting parents' rights in education, bettering the student workforce, workforce preparation through apprenticeships and internships, career focus. The whole plan is there at Ronchetti's site. Now, I don't have to talk too much about Michelle Lujan Grisham's plan because she didn't do any forward-looking planning. She has touted some successes or perceived successes involving spending more money, teacher raises, and pre-K and other programs that she's come up with. But honestly, you go to her website, michelle4newmexico.com, and we did, and I really compared the two plans. And quite honestly, Michelle Lujan Grisham does not have any forward-looking plan. She is touting successes that she's got under her belt, but she's not talking at all about what she's going to do in the next 4 years with New Mexico, a state that's 50 in education, that struggles mightily. And it's a real interesting dichotomy there.
Okay. Well, Paul, we appreciate all the time you take to research this. Was there any more on economics you wanted to touch on before we got out?
Well, again, I won't go into too many details, but Michelle Lujan Grisham touts some economic policies, but and she did cut taxes. She has some things that she's done while in office. But again, she doesn't talk at all about the future of New Mexico, its economy, what her vision is, and how she's going to achieve it. Again, you can go to her website, Michelle for New Mexico. I think it's worth taking a close look at. Ronchetti, again, has something like 8 pages, most of which is very specific and detailed and achievable. If you don't know where you're going, how are you going to get there? And that seems to be the problem here with the contrasting policies and especially the current governor.
All right. Well, I wanted to make sure before we headed out and welcomed Chuck Harper and Jenna Martinez onto the broadcast from Across Nations, a resource that people can go to. We mentioned it a couple times, RioGrandeFoundation.org. And again, Paul, I was just back on the website and want to remind people some of the information you've given today can be found on other the type of information you gave can be found on other topics. On the website, you'll find information on the United States Constitution, the economy, education, energy and environment, healthcare, the legislature, and that this stuff's regularly updated. And it's good information, Paul, for people that, you know, like we said, are going to go register to vote, and then hopefully either vote early or go to vote on election day. Thank you so much. Is there anything else on the website you want to make sure to draw people to?
Well, we have links to other information. We have information on the legislature and how they vote. We have a blog at Heirs of Enchantment, but it's also linked to the Rio Grande Foundation site. Now, we have a podcast where we talk about the issues a couple times a week, Tipping Point New Mexico. All of that is available at the RioGrandeFoundation.org website. So it's kind of the hub of all the information and about us and what we're doing and talking about. So that's the place to start.
All right, Paul, thanks again for coming in. Can we get you back in soon?
Absolutely.
All right.